And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose. What up, Dome? I'm David Jacoby. And on the cool check-in. Together with Jalen and Jacoby, what is it that we do? We give the people what they want. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, had to apologize for calling the World Series trophy a piece of metal. And then LeBron James got out his Twitter fingers and just put a little more gasoline on the fire. Here's what LeBron said. Listen, I know I don't play baseball, but I'm in sports, and I know someone cheated me out of winning the title and found out about it. I would be irate. I mean, uncontrollable about what I could do. Listen here, baseball commissioner. Listen to your players speaking today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken, etc. they are about this. Literally, the ball is in your court, or should I say field, and you need to fix this for the sake of sports. Jalen, what can and what should the commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, do from here?
So LeBron James did something in that tweet that I just want to take as a lesson for all people that can hear my voice.
Okay.
So David Jacoby does not have to play collegiate basketball or in the NBA to be well-read, be a student of the game, work really hard, and be able to cover the game.
Yes.
Okay? When LeBron James sent out that tweet, you notice I just wish he didn't feel like he needed to couch it. You know what I mean? Like, I know I don't play baseball, and I'm just being a sports junkie. Say it with your chest, anybody out there. You know, just think about this. We've been where, Jacoby? We've been Harlem Globetrotter games, USC fights, Sweet Science, high school basketball games, NFL games. Like, this is what we do. Now, back to baseball and Rob Manfred. He already made his punishment, and he ain't going back on it. So that poor decision is just like what Roger Goodell continues to make those two people so very unpopular in the sports that they are supposed to be leading, unlike what we see in the NBA with Adam Silver as the NBA takes a victory lap because All-Star Weekend, other than the judges in the dunk contest and not ending the dunk contest, was an amazing success. And it's really unfortunate for fans of baseball. I love baseball. I grew up in an era where we played whatever sport it was that season. And it just baffles me that they didn't punish the players at all. Three separate managers got fired. This is a real thing that was happening throughout baseball. And we're only talking about the Astros. Red Sox, y'all next. I know that we're talking about them trading Mookie and all of that, but they benefited from it as well. So it's just going to be a stain for baseball for a very long time, and they could not handle it any poorer.
Well, one thing that LeBron James did mention was the commissioner himself, but also the players talking about it and how hurt they were and how upset they were and possible retribution we spoke of yesterday from Nick Markakis, who said that the players deserve a beating for their cheating. Jalen, do you think that this will manifest itself in hit batsmen and sort of bench clearing brawls, and that the sort of the echo of this will kind of leave a stink over next season whenever the Astros take the field?
So, you know, baseball is synonymous with its unwritten rules as well as its written ones. And one of them has been to bean people for whatever reason. Okay, I think these allegations of cheating are now going to lend to baseball not necessarily allowing pitchers to throw at batters anymore, because now the spotlight is going to be on it, in particular when the Astros play. I'm telling you, Jacoby, this is now going to start a change in the modern era in baseball where pitchers legitimately would not be allowed to throw at batters without being punished.
Well, this won't be the last that we discuss the Astros and the cheating controversy as it spreads throughout the entire league. But Jalen, You know, I'm a member of the media, right? And you know, one thing that you hate that we do that I do all the time is I'll take a little tiny kernel of information and I will read way too much into it and talk about the implications of what that might mean. And I'm about to do it to the MVP of the NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo. When asked if he would like to play with his brothers, he said it would be amazing to team up with his brothers, Milwaukee, L.A., or wherever. Jalen, why didn't he just say Milwaukee? Why did he say or L.A.? Why didn't he just say Milwaukee? Why did he mention L.A. specifically? And it, does this mean that Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to play in Los Angeles?
How many Antetokounmpo brothers are in and around the NBA?
Three.
Three of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where do they play?
Milwaukee and Los Angeles.
Okay! There's nothing to read into it. He didn't say New York.
Okay.
You know what I mean? He didn't say...
Time out.
Maybe we can... Okay. Go ahead.
You know he's going to be a free agent. Okay. And in order for the three of them to play together in Los Angeles, he would have to then leave the Bucks and go to Los Angeles. And he's openly speaking to the media about that possibility. There's something there. The idea that he said to the media that he could potentially play with his brothers in Los Angeles says something to me. And if I'm a Bucks fan, it's cause for concern.
Well, you're just ignoring the older brother that he plays with in Milwaukee and assuming that he's going to go play with his other brother in L.A. Why didn't you say they are going to play with their brother in L.A.?
Well, one's the MVP of the league and the other one is the reserve that barely sees the court. Okay. That's why I said it, okay? You know why.
I think Giannis is really happy in Milwaukee. And I see him as one of those players that wants to play his entire career for one team. Because... what more can they offer him? They gonna give him top dollar. He's in the MVP of the league, one of the faces of the NBA. He got the best record in the game. Now it's on him to deliver the goods. That's what's next.
Well, this certainly seems like a pivotal year for that franchise, and their performance in the playoffs, I believe, will dictate whether or not he stays or leaves. Jalen, it doesn't seem like Coach John Beilein is going to stay in Cleveland. As the second that we are recording this, he is currently still the coach, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be very long. He had a 5-year deal that he is now out of, and Woj is reporting that J.B. Bickerstaff will take over. Jalen, what does this tell you about college coaches versus NBA coaches and making the transition between the two?
It's by the way, I really like John Beilein and forever grateful for what he did for the University of Michigan and myself in particular, welcoming me back to campus with open arms. What this says is that transition is a quantum leap that not many are able to be successful at doing. Mm-hmm. It's a sea change. When you're the head coach in college, you're the hammer. In the league, you're the nail. That's just how it goes. Coaches are hired in the league to be fired. As opposed in college, it seems like your job can be grandfathered in for decades upon decades if you're able to show that you could do a good job. And so what I've noticed over the last handful of days is how the business of the league shifts. Because at first it was in buyout talks. Then it was stepping down. Mm-hmm. Then it was out, potentially. And the reason why I distinguish all of those terms is that's the difference between them paying him those other 4.5 years versus only paying him for the games that he's coached this season. And that's what I see happening here.
I am interested to see just how much of that 5-year contract he actually is going to walk away with, because I do not believe that he's going to get paid the whole thing. Jalen, it is now time for Soft Move or Boss Move. Jalen, you and I both spend our time in the gym, probably not as much as we should, but imagine you're in the gym and you see this gentleman working out with no shoes and no socks anywhere in sight, feet all over the equipment. Jalen Rose, what would you do?
That's a soft move, and I would have to go talk to that guy. From the side, I thought it was Skip Bayless initially. Big shout. But with that being said, you know how much I hate when people in public treat items like they're in private. That is not your home gym. That's a public facility. That is a public facility. I would have to talk to that gentleman about that.
Yeah, they got to close that gym. That gym's just got to be closed. They got to close that gym. That gym is no longer functional. I'm not going in there. They got to follow him around with some disinfectant or something. And I do want to say this. Skip Bayless, he puts in his time in the gym. That guy's in great shape. He's in great shape. He looks better with his shirt off than either of us will for the rest of our lives. There was something that was said over All-Star Weekend that is so important and so significant, yet so underreported, and that is this from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Here's what he said about potential of Boogie Cousins coming back. He said, quote, he's on track to get healthy by the playoffs, and we'll have to see where he's at with rhythm and conditioning and timing and all that stuff, but there's a possibility he returns this season. Yes, Jalen, I watch a lot of Lakers games, and I can't help but notice that Boogie is always there. He's always on the bench. He's always talking to the teammates. He's always in the huddle. He's very involved in this season. Do you think Boogie Cousins will suit up in the purple and gold and play for the Lakers this season or the playoffs?
You know this is one of our guys.
Mm-hmm.
DeMarcus, JRLA supporter. And for old time's sakes, I know I promised him I wouldn't do it, because when he was out at restaurants early in his career, he had fans yelling and screaming this loud when he was trying to enjoy his dinner.
Do it one time for him.
But I just have to say this because I'm really enthusiastic about this news. Boogie!
Yes.
Now, we are talking about the additions to the Clippers, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, adding Morris, adding Reggie Jackson. I'm pretty sure we'll get to that. But let me tell you something. The Lakers' strength, besides LeBron James and clearly Anthony Davis being elite players, is their size, is their height, is their bulk, their interior presence. And you can add a guy that's just as skilled as Anthony Davis, but also just a better player than JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard for a playoff run. Man, let me tell you something. If Boogie is healthy and able to ball, and he making how much this year? How much Boogie making?
He is on a 1 year, $3.5 million bargain deal.
Right? Okay, so he gonna come back and ball. And why did he go to Golden State? Tell me again why he went to Golden State.
Oh, he was chasing rings. He was chasing the rings.
Okay, and it didn't happen in Golden State.
It didn't
happen.
Didn't work.
He got injured. Okay, so he comes back this year with this squad. This is his very legit chance to get a championship.
Well, we all remember what happened when he came back for a playoff run last year. He ended up getting re-injuring himself. So I hope that if he does play this season, that he is 100% healthy and he's got plenty of road work behind him and practice and all that, because I do not want to see Boogie Cousins injured once again. Jalen, someone else who just re-aggravated an injury, Kyrie Irving. He's going to see a specialist about his shoulder. You remember earlier this season he had shoulder trouble, and then he was out with a strained knee. Jalen, how bad is this for the Nets and Kyrie Irving?
It's not really bad, because Kevin Durant back in the gym. This is a freestyle, basically punt type of season for the Nets. They have no expectations. If they make the playoffs, they're going to lose in the first round. We understand that their future is going to be built around KD and Kyrie. And so it's not a big deal. You give Caris LeVert more chances to play minutes along with Dinwiddie. See which ones you feel like you can either keep for value and or move for the exact same thing, kind of indirectly like they did with D'Angelo Russell.
Well, you mentioned Kevin Durant being back in the gym, and we've got footage of it. Jalen, I got so excited when I saw this footage. Just look at Kevin Durant. First of all, he never misses. Torn Achilles, no torn Achilles, high school gym, NBA arena. Like, this guy never misses. But just look at him. He's been sweating like David Jacoby out there, getting shots up, looking comfortable. How encouraging is this video of Kevin Durant playing actual basketball?
He looking like Michigan's own Imani Bates, who went for over 60 and 20 boards. Told you about the sophomore Jacoby. Went to check him out earlier in the year with Juwan and Tom Izzo. That's what this video reminds me of. I'll send it to you. I got a video of Imani making 40 straight from three. 40 straight from three. And that body type, that shot, it reminds me of one of the top players in the world in Kevin Durant. And so many times we say, you know, the best players in the game. When Kevin Durant returns, we go back to playing three-card Monty with that conversation between LeBron, KD, and Kawhi. Depending on who's winning the championship that season, or finals MVP, or regular season MVP, those are the best players in the game. Don't get it twisted.
Well, we are one playoff run away from Giannis being entered into that conversation next season. Jalen, you are a very versatile analyst, and sometimes we need you to put on a suit and tie and sit down at the desk and become GM Jalen. Jalen, the Pistons are a mess. I mean, you trade Andre Drummond, and now you buy out Reggie Jackson, who you initially acquired a few years ago, never really panned out. GM Jalen, what are the Pistons doing right now?
You love me so much that when my team struggle, I think that's even more special to you.
We talked about the Lions yesterday and it hurt me. I root for the Lions to lose.
We talked about them yesterday and Big Play Slay and Matthew Stafford, but we're going to get to it, hopefully. And now the Detroit Pistons. So here's how the dynamics of the league change. On paper, you draft Andre Drummond, you develop him, he becomes an all-star, he becomes a max player. In a salary cap driven sport, you need him to be your best player that can help lead you to the playoffs and in contention, kind of like Giannis is doing with the Bucks. He's a terrific performer, and big shout to him, big shout to his mom, terrific JRLA supporters. They did an amazing job for the city, giving back to the community. I'm forever grateful for all of the time, energy, and efforts that they spent giving back to the community. And so he becomes your anchor. And then you're like, all right, Reggie Jackson's in OKC, playing behind Russ, putting up a couple of numbers. And all of a sudden, you try to get ahead of the curve and sign him to a big deal. Before John Wall at the time got a big deal from Washington, and he was already a perennial all-star, thinking that you're going to pay in advance and hope that he became that type of player, where he clearly did not become an all-star level player. He wasn't able to stay healthy. And even this year when they brought in Derrick Rose, who's actually had a really good season, scored over 20 points in, you know, 9 or 10 consecutive games at some point of the season, he was getting the minutes. And then Reggie was still injured going into this year. So now once you trade Andre and then the Reggie 5-year $80 million didn't pan out, you take another crack at it. You say, I'm going to bring in Blake Griffin.
How'd that go?
And so Blake Griffin, at the same token, those should be your three best players leading you somewhere. Blake continues to be injured, including this year. He was injured in the playoffs last year at points as well. So now all of a sudden, you have to remix the team and realize that, I guess, with those three players, you can't get it done. So you move Dre, you buy out Reggie. They're going to go to other places and ball. You're going to look down at the stat sheet, and Andre Drummond's still going to be getting boards. He's still going to be scoring. He's still going to be balling. But the next team that he plays for, if he doesn't stay with the Cavs, won't be called upon him to be their best player. Reggie Jackson is not going to be called upon to be the Clippers' starting point guard or their top 5 or 6 option. But when you bring a veteran in off the bench on a contending team, he's going to have his moments where he's contributing to winning. And I wish both of those guys well. And it'll be interesting to see now how the Pistons actually retool and rebuild their roster.
Well, A couple years ago, it just seemed like the Pistons were trying to make a run at a title. You know, it's like, let's get Blake Griffin. Let's get Reggie Jackson. We've got Andre Drummond. We're going to make a run at the playoffs. We're in the Eastern Conference. We can make a run at this. And now it really feels like they're tearing the whole thing down to rebuild. And that is probably the right thing for them to do. It is time for What's Your Number? So here's how What's Your Number works. I asked Jalen Rose, extremely wealthy human being, how much he would need to be paid in order to do something. Now, keep in mind, he is not like the rest of us. He's extremely wealthy, so the numbers are a little higher for him than they are for me. I will give my number second. A gentleman named Colin O'Brady walked alone and unaided all the way across Antarctica. It took him so long. And he was all by himself. And he was had very few supplies. And on his journey at some point, he soiled his only pair of underwear. And then he had to wear that dirty underwear for 38 days. So my question for you is, Jalen Rose, what is your number to wear dirty drawers for 38 days in a row? And I also want to remind everybody, Jalen Rose will sometimes treat his underwear as if they are disposable. He will wear them once and then literally throw them in the garbage after one single wear. So, Jalen, how much does it take to get you to wear dirty drawers for 38 days in a row?
So, this is there's a lot here to unpack. So, okay, just give me a second. First and foremost, the great American philosopher Chris Rock taught us the difference between me being rich versus the people that write my check are the ones that are wealthy.
Yes.
That's one.
Okay.
Two, shout to my godfather, John McClane. He told me to stop talking about throwing away my underwear publicly after one time rocking them. The reason why Jacoby knows this is because we was at the athletic club together and he saw me do this. That's how he knows. So now for my number. For 38 days to walk around with poop in my pants, a meal.
A meal? Oh, that'd be much higher than that. Yo, I'm starting a GoFundMe. I'm starting a GoFundMe just to have you walking around smelling and stinking, wearing the same drawers for 38 days. I thought my number would be a mil. Your number needs to be higher than that. Your number needs to be much higher than that.
No, I do it for Jalen. A mil.
I'll admit it. I'm not the best at giving myself the warm, delicious breakfast that I deserve. I've had my fair share of sad breakfasts. Beige, plastic wrap, brick-shaped protein bars, day-old break room donuts, frozen breakfast trays. Not my finest moments. But now that McChicken breakfast sandwiches are on the McDonald's breakfast menu, I don't think I can ever go back to my old breakfast life. And you shouldn't either. That's a breakfast worth getting up for. It's time to change your life. For breakfast, buttery, crispy McChicken biscuits and the savory, sweet chicken McGriddles, freshly prepared and now available nationwide at McDonald's. That's how you wake up breakfast. They're at participating McDonald's for limited time. Jalen Rose, we have some news about quarterbacks in the National Football League. We don't know where Tom Brady's going to play, but Drew Brees on vacation announced that he is returning to the National Football League, which means he will likely be under center for the Saints once again. What does this tell you about the New Orleans Saints next season?
I'm not surprised that Drew Brees returns. If you look at the past three seasons, they've been an ascending football team. They've had some heartbreaking, gut-wrenching losses to end their seasons. But yet the talent around him continued to develop. Michael Thomas caught more balls than anybody in the history of the league. Alvin Kamara didn't have a year this year like he did in the past, but we still know he's an all-pro caliber player. They have Cook at tight end who got injured earlier in the year, but we know that he's a really effective player for their team. But here's the thing I want to say about their squad. Taysom Hill has shown me as a Swiss Army knife that somebody eventually is going to take a chance on him probably as a starting quarterback. That may or may not happen this year because he's a restricted free agent. The reason why I bring that up is the games that Drew Brees did not play, Teddy Bridgewater, not Hill, was the backup. So in other words, there are going to be people saying, in theory, keep Taysom to be Brees' backup. Two different styles. So to me, they're still going to bring in a backup quarterback regardless to back up Drew Brees while Taysom Hill continues to play all over the field.
Yeah, I don't know how it happened this offseason, but I think, you know, I love my athletic white guys, but Taysom Hill is being overvalued. Like, we're talking about him like he's Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes. It's like, hey, let's just pump the brakes on Taysom Hill. Like, there's a reason Teddy Bridgewater started those five games when Drew Brees was out. There's a reason Taysom Hill has like 45 pass attempts in his entire career and he's been in the league for about 3 years. Like, there's a reason for all this. Like, the New Orleans Saints know more about Taysom Hill than anybody else. And when Drew Brees went down, Taysom Hill didn't not start those games. So let's just pump the brakes on him for a second. Jalen, more quarterback news in the NFL. Derrick Henry, who had a great playoff run and a great season for the Tennessee Titans, took him all the way to the AFC Championship game. And here's what he said about Ryan Tannehill as the starting quarterback of the Titans. He said, quote, "Why ain't Ryan good enough, you know? Tom Brady is the GOAT. That's no question at all. The best of all time. But then, at the same time, I mean, Ryan Tannehill is our quarterback. We went to the AFC Championship. Why would we not want Ryan back?" Interesting support from Derrick Henry about Ryan Tannehill, because I watched all those playoff games, and it was Derrick Henry who brought them to the AFC Championship game, not Ryan Tannehill's passing. What do you think about Tannehill's future in Tennessee, potentially?
I think he's earned the right to be their starting quarterback. And also, he did something else for them that we wouldn't necessarily mention, is that he allowed them to move on from Mariota. And that's kind of what Tampa Bay is still trying to figure out with Jameis. Even though Jameis obviously had 30 touchdowns and led the league in passing, he did throw it to the other team 30 times. Both of those guys came out in the same draft. One team gave up on the player. The other team didn't. One team made it to the AFC Championship game. The Bucs are still trying to figure out their quarterback situation. And so now that you see that Ryan Tannehill can be effective with your squad, I think he deserves that opportunity moving forward.
Well, Jalen, you know I read way too much into people's social media activity. I read way too much into it. But this one I find really interesting. You know, Stephon Diggs. Him and Thielen are sort of the best wide receiver duo in the league, in my personal opinion. So Stephon Diggs went to his Instagram account and did something that people usually just do after a breakup. He deleted all Vikings content from his Instagram account. Like an ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend, just pretended that they don't even exist anymore if you go to his Instagram page. He is still on contract with the Vikings for some more years. So Jalen, what does this tell you about his relationship with the Minnesota Vikings?
He don't want to be there anymore. And that kind of came to the surface this season. We've seen him be disciplined by the team. We've seen him not show up when they needed him to be there. You know, they have a tumultuous relationship, a rocky relationship. And so, I think when he looks around the league, he realizes, and you know, I've been somebody singing the Vikings praise, talking about how they've been underrated and undervalued by a lot of people. So I'm at liberty to say this. He feels like they're not the wave anymore. That's what I see. I think he looks around the league and he sees Mahomes and he sees Lamar and he sees Watson and Russell Wilson. He like, you know, Cousins is all right, but he's not real. And then he's like, you know, our coach wants to give the ball to Dalvin Cook, as he should, first, second, and third down, because that's what Dalvin Cook deserves to have happen. And so I believe ultimately they part ways and he ends up somewhere else where he can be a part of a wave. Like what's going to happen in Dallas with Amari Cooper, for example, in Dak Prescott's contract? Like, I like to see him kind of shake loose to one of those situations.
Ooh, I like you, Jalen Rose. Just floating out there, potential of Stephon Diggs going to the Big D. Now, Jalen, you spend a lot of time complaining to me about what we do and don't talk about on this program. So we've got a segment where you get to decide what we talk about, and it's called Keep It Moving. If you want to discuss the topic, say hit the brakes. If not, me with Method Man jump in the minivan and keep it moving. First up, Chris Bosh is upset, Jalen Rose. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
The brakes.
Well, he was not listed as a finalist for the Hall of Fame in Springfield, and he took to social media and he expressed his disappointment over and over again. Does he have a right to be upset with the Hall of Fame?
He got a right for his fight. Absolutely. I remember when he was winning championships with the Miami Heat, and I think it was their third one. And post-game, that's exactly what I said on television, that Chris Bosh is going to the Hall of Fame. And a lot of people was baffled that I felt that way. And then I brought out all of the facts about the points, the rebounds, the all-star appearances, the championships, and it's the Basketball Hall of Fame. He balled at Georgia Tech also. He balled in high school. It's not just about the NBA. Also, Chris Webber deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. It's kind of like Terrell Owens. He's going to get in. It's only a matter of time. Same with Chris Bosh. Both of those guys will get in.
Jalen, we're going to get you in the Hall of Fame for broadcasting. That's what we're going to get you. We're going to get you in the back door. We're going to get you in the back door for broadcasting. We got you. I got you. Moving on, Greg Olsen not joining us in the broadcast booth. He has a new team. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
I want to see what they're going to do with their run game. That's a good pickup. Keep it moving for now.
Keep it moving. There is a Jalen in the news. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
I knew I would get you with that one. Maryland's Jalen Smith had 22 points and 19 rebounds in a win over Northwestern. And this got me thinking, Jalen Rose, there are so many Jalens in sports. It's time for you to do something that you never do. I want you to pick a favorite. Who is your favorite of your namesake in sports or pop culture? This is tough. I knew I'd get
you. How many
you.
Kids do you have? Say it for
Three
the people
kids.
That don't know.
Three kids.
Okay, what are their names? Tell everyone their names.
Margo and Quincy.
Okay. Now speak into the microphone and tell me which one is your favorite.
Chloe. She's the easiest. I'm not afraid to say I got favorites. She's the easiest. I just go with the easiest baby. She's the easiest one.
Wow.
She's always happy. She doesn't give me any problems. She does whatever I say. She listens. I'm just gonna straight up say it. See, people are afraid to tell the truth sometimes. I think parents need to tell the truth about who their favorites are, because all parents have favorites. You know that. Shout out to Chloe. Sorry, Margo and Quincy. I love you too. I knew you wouldn't pick a favorite.
I can't wait to that social clip. I'm posting that today.
All right. A woman's coach has done something special. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Kim Mulkey, the Baylor women's head coach, got her 600th career win in just 700 games, the fastest in D1 men's or women's to do so. Big shout to Kim.
And I love her fashion too. Don't sleep on that. You know, I pay attention to people who care about being fly. And the fastest to do it, only 100 losses, and
crazy.
Built an elite program. In women's college basketball, on the surface, people start talking about so many teams, and rightfully so, throughout the history of the game that have had elite programs. Baylor is that under Kim Mulkey.
All right. Rick Ross has a new song I need to tell you about.
Rosé! Hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes on this. Rick Ross has a song with, wait for it, Dwayne Wade. Apparently Adonis Haslam is involved as well. And Raphael Sadiq. Jalen, why is Dwayne Wade on a Rick Ross track? What is happening?
Rick Ross understands marketing and promotions. Plus, you see, he got the Miami Vice colors going on the cover. And let me say something else to a microphone that people sleep on. About the Miami Mafia. Y'all saw Dwayne Wade with the last score in the dunk contest. Let me tell y'all something. I'm going to tell you the name of a player that's going to have his number retired that he currently plays for that team that nobody ever talks about. Udonis Haslam.
Yep.
They're going to retire his number for all of the things that he has done for the Miami
great
Heat
point.
And their culture.
That's
okay,
such a
so
great
we're
point.
Looking forward to Dirk having it done and Vince having it done and so many great players. The Miami Mafia will be retiring Udonis Haslam's
That's
number.
A great point, and deservedly so. He might not have the big numbers, and he might not have the all-star appearances, but he was a stalwart for that organization. Jalen, I know you love innovation and people that do new things. I've got some innovation in women's softball for you. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
All right, let's take a look at this bat flip. Check this. Bong! And then, throws it. That is the greatest bat flip I've ever seen in my life. What do you think about it?
I love it. And from the left side of the plate.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I was young, I thought I was a little Rod Carew, how I held the bat. And then I got a little older. Wish I was Barry Bonds, but I wasn't as versatile as him. And then I thought I was smooth as Ken Griffey with the hat to the back. So you got to represent for the lefties when you're standing at the plate. I need to start carrying a bat again. That's what needs to happen.
I noticed something that all those baseball players had in common. Can't put my finger on it, though. We've been doing this show for nearly a decade, and I have never once ever had good news about the Detroit Lions until today. Something that you've been trying to speak into fruition. Something that you've been putting out in the universe over and over and over again. Just hoping that perhaps there's a chance that it could happen. Might happen. Our guys, Kuiper and McShay. And Kuiper put out his mock draft 2.0. And at the third spot, who did Mel Kuiper have the Detroit Lions picking? Jalen.
Let's go, Tua! Matthew Stafford did his time in Detroit. I'm very grateful for all the work that he put in. He still has another year on his contract. You draft Tua. You allow Stafford to play it out. Continue to play up his value because he is a terrific quarterback still. After next year, with value, you trade him somewhere else. You allow Tua, a la Mahomes, what he did from learning from Alex Smith for his first year. And then you turn the keys over to him his second year. You don't rush him back from injury. You allow him to learn the game. Matthews learned from one of the better quarterbacks in the league, a seasoned veteran. They have two vastly different styles. And so I hope that my squad finds a way to get this done. And when your team only won one playoff game, Jacoby, in 60 years, you can't relate to this as a Daisy fan. I'm not going to believe it when I see his name on the screen. I'm not going to believe it when I see him on the stage. I'm not going to believe it until I see him in Detroit. Until he's physically in Detroit, I can't believe it until it happens.
So a couple things. Number one, the best thing to happen to the Lions was Joe Burrow. Because people forget, Joe Burrow, he wasn't exactly like a career Heisman Trophy candidate. Like, he popped up this year and this year only. People didn't know Joe Burrow's name 365 days ago today. But then all of a sudden, he became the hot quarterback in the draft. But he could talk his way out of that Bengals pick. And the Bengals could pick Tua. And in that case, you'll be looking at Mr. Burrow at number three, just like you're looking at Tua. But regardless, if anyone in the Lions organization is watching this program, please pick a quarterback, not a cornerback. You need a quarterback that actually has a back that functions, unlike Matt Stafford. Jalen, as we get closer this weekend, I know you're getting ready to travel to Las Vegas for the big fight between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. This is one of the most anticipated fights of my lifetime. Not going to say the most because I was around for a lot of big fights, but this is one of the ones I'm most excited to see, especially after the first matchup that they had. What do you think about the buzz surrounding these two as they head to Vegas, as you will shortly?
It's well deserved. And you know how much I love Las Vegas. You know how much I appreciate that atmosphere. And I tell people, Super Bowl is terrific. course, you get J-Lo on the pole. It's amazing. The NBA Finals are terrific. They're awesome. 7-game series. But I'm going to tell you something. Nothing eclipses a prize fight. The buzz that comes with it. Nothing. Not, and I'm talking about the sweet science. No shade at the UFC. No shade at any other sport. This gives me chills. Rest in peace to the late, great Emmanuel Stewart that represented Detroit to the fullest in Kronk boxing. Okay. Flying to Vegas, going to see Lennox Lewis and Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield and all of these great heavyweight fights. That's what this reminds me of. And it's at the MGM. It's no question I'll be there. And both of these guys are unorthodox in a different way. Wilder, he really stopped fighting in a lot of ways and stopped jabbing and punching his way in. And you know Fury, he looked like you out there.
We always say we give the people what they want. So we're not just going to give you the television show audio. We always give you podcast exclusive Too Hot for TV. Jalen. I'm a little concerned about today's podcast for a few reasons. Number one, on the television portion, you tricked me into picking my favorite child, which I definitely have. I have one. I have a favorite kid. I just do. I think all parents do. They just don't say it out loud. I always don't say I don't lie into microphones. So I'm not going to start lying into microphones now. I got a favorite kid of my three. It's Chloe. She's easy. It can change over time, but that's just the way it is.
So
I'm concerned about people telling my wife about that. You seem concerned yourself.
So I got a couple of follow-up questions about my nephew and my nieces. A couple of questions. This is really important to me. A couple of follow-up questions.
Okay.
You're an industry veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You've helped create shows. You've helped hire and scout talent in front of the camera, behind the scenes.
All facts.
And then all of a sudden you became an amazing television personality.
I've got the best co-host of the show. Got the best co-host in
national media. Where you can show up with a Smith & Wesson hoodie on at work and have them hanging over your shoulder as well. Like, you get to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what you do not also get to do. This is something that does not come with that.
What's that?
You don't get to pick and choose the things that you say, whether you realize your wife is going to find out or not.
You're going to be mad about
you
this
work
one.
At ESPN. I got to remind you, for 20 plus years, and your show calls on at 2 o'clock every single day.
Oh, no.
Your show clips things that we say on this show, and they put those things on something called social media.
Oh, no.
Like Instagram, like Twitter. What makes you think you saying you have a favorite daughter that happens to be a twin, they're only 4 years old, and you're already picking Chloe over Margot? If you are in the Jacoby elk, please call into the show. Leave voicemails. Hit us on IG. Hit us on Twitter. Let us know. Do you have a favorite kid? And if you do, do you talk about it at your job publicly? Please let me know.
Well, I regret saying it, but I just wanted to tell the truth.
No,
you trying to set me up.
No, you don't.
I asked you who your favorite Jalen was, and then you turned around, and I don't like follow-up questions, first of all. So then you threw it to me, and you said, well, do you have a favorite kid? Expecting me to be like, no, I love them all equally. But the fact of the matter is, I don't. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to be honest. I like
Why?
There's a lot of them.
Why?
They take up a
Why?
Lot of time.
How are you able to distinguish them?
I like the easy one. She smiles all the time. She doesn't throw tantrums. She listens. She's cute. She likes to snuggle. She'll sleep when she's supposed to sleep. You know what I mean? She's just a sweetheart. One time she said, I make life easy for everybody because life is so easy for me. And I was like, you know what, Chloe? You're perfect. She's absolutely perfect. She's cute. She got a little spot in her nose. She's smart. She's just great. And I love all my kids. I love them all. I just happen to like Chloe a little bit more than the other two. I love them all.
And I got to tell you a different secret. And anybody listening to this pod for the last decade know where I'm about to go. You know that changes as they start to get older, right?
Oh yeah. Oh, it's a power ranking. It's like Mel Kiper's draft. This is just 1.0.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. This
the
is 1.0.
Change.
Like that's good. Like this time next year, you can three card Monty that list.
Yeah, Quincy. Yeah. All Quincy needs to do is once he starts liking basketball, it's over. That's me and Q. I don't even have other kids. Oh yeah, this is all going to change over time. I'm sorry, Quincy and Margo. I love you very much. And I also want to apologize to my wife, who's going to be very upset when she hears about this, because you know she don't listen to the podcast or watch the TV show.
I'm trying to figure who giving the worst advice into microphones on social media between you and Boosie.
I ain't posting this clip. I ain't posting this one. That's the only way that my wife can see it. But my wife has one friend that watches our show every day. I'm about to text Auntie Lindsay and be like, "Yo, Auntie Lindsay, let's not share any moments from the show today with the family, please."
Television doesn't work like that, sir. I promise you, that's not going to be the only person that sees it. And people know that Joey Jacoby is your wife. She walks down the street and people come up to her and introduce themselves. Because they follow you on television.
And she acts like she doesn't like it, but she does. She acts like she doesn't like it every time. She's like, "Oh, your fans are bothering me. I'm at this thing." I'm like, you love it. You absolutely love it. Don't lie. I love my wife so much, and I apologize, Joey.
So since we're doing controversial things, I want to do one other thing that's controversial.
Uh-oh.
And this is a social clip also that could be shared or don't have to be shared, because this could be audio and or video, depending on the talented people who produce this program.
Okay.
Here's what I want to say. There was a segment a few years ago that I tried to introduce to the show in Los Angeles called Durag Jalen.
Oh, yeah.
And when I'm on television and I'm suited and booted with turtlenecks and hoodies and tie pins and brooches and all of that, that's one thing. The other thing is when Allen Iverson, I say this often, had to crawl for certain people to walk on the floor, it's the same thing I do in the multimedia game. And AI was the first MVP showing up at press conferences with a durag on. I was trying to be the first multimedia person to do that. Now I ask you a very important question. LeBron James helped make it mainstream, because he does interviews only with his durag on, especially after he's been sweating. So now I ask you.
Okay.
Is it now okay for me to rock a durag on the pod every now and then?
I think you can rock a durag on the pod every now and then. What you can't do is what you did previously with the character Durag Jalen, which was rock a durag, an undershirt. I think you had like a Dutch tucked into the durag too. It was the whole outfit, and you had this little voice that went with it. Like, you could just be regular Jay with the durag. I could rock with that. But Durag Jalen, we had multiple people that worked on the show being like, "This ain't gonna work. I can't hear you.
You know what? You know what's funny? They took away your audio. They made it so I can't hear you right now.
Good. They probably did that intentionally.
I can't make this up. I can't hear you.
Well, and right now, if you're listening to the podcast, Jalen Rose is now tying his durag in the back to try to get his waves together. Because you know he doesn't get his waves together for this program. That means that he's about to hit the road, go to Vegas, be out and about, see and be seen. That's why he's trying to get the waves together. So listen, I want to thank everybody for participating in this program. I want to thank all the women, because we always celebrate females on Women Crush Wednesday. And I want to apologize to my wife, my son, my daughter Margo. I love you all very much. We'll be back tomorrow, because we're not done.